This is the Creating the Future podcast, and I'm your host, Jordan Krause. In this episode, we're going to discuss how it is our students love and enjoy reading so much. And joining me today is Denise Fiore and Shannon Trisvik. Welcome, you two.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here. Yes. Heck yeah. Let's talk about you and literacy on our campus. Now, the two of you are pretty special. You are on our Champion Service Award wall in our office, and that wall is reserved for staff who've been here for 15 or more years. So you two have been here for a while. So talk to us about your journey here at TCDS. What all have you done, and what are you currently up to?
Well, I started working here in 2001 as a first grade teacher. I was a reading specialist for a year, and then went back to the classroom, and I taught kindergarten for a while and first grade again. Over the years, and so this is my third year as a literacy specialist.
And I started working here in 2002. I started in second grade, and then I taught fifth grade and spent the majority of the time in third grade, and this is my second year as a literacy specialist.
So you're a literacy specialist, part of our fairly new SEAL team. So walk us through the very broad stages of an individual learning how to read. We have three-year-olds on our campus. We have 14, 15-year-olds on our campus. So like from a preschool through first grade perspective, like what are those stages that students experience as they learn to read, like second through fifth, middle school? Just walk our listeners through what our youngsters experience in terms of learning how to read.
Well, we're going to refer those stages as stepping stones, and it actually starts at birth and with oral language skills. So when you have an infant or toddlers, it's really important to have, you know, face-to-face time and talking to them and them just having that opportunity to hear language. So that's where literacy development actually begins. By age three, most of the major brain structures are mature, so understanding developmental milestones for young ones is important, so that if any issues pop up, parents are knowledgeable about, you know, those milestones so that they can address anything that seems kind of delayed or out of the ordinary.
Phonemic awareness is the next stepping stone, and that's an oral language skill. We have our little champs, you know, all the way up to second graders practicing phonemic awareness. It's, you know, breaking words into syllables, manipulating the words, rhyming, and it's mostly done auditory, so there's really no print to read. It's just all about manipulating sounds and words.
And the next stepping stone after that is introducing our students to phonics and understanding what letter combinations, what sounds the letters represent, and how they work together to form patterns in words that we eventually will be reading, but the words that we speak, understanding that there are symbols that represent the sounds that we use in our speech. So that would be the next one.
And then as they build those decoding skills, we want them to become fluent readers so they are able to better understand what they're reading. Fluency doesn't just mean reading fast, but reading accurately at an appropriate rate with intonation, phrasing, expression.
And when Shannon was referring to building decoding skills, it's really important, since we have a strong emphasis on phonics, that kids are practicing their reading with decodable books. So parents will see decodable readers mainly in first and kindergarten being sent home, things that they might have for homework. We want kids spending a lot of time reading words that are focused on what the lessons are for that particular phonics skill for the week or the weeks that follow, so that they can really, they call it phoneme-grapheme mapping, so that those patterns are really embedded and that it becomes natural for them when they see those patterns that they'll be able to read them fluently.
And then what's next? So we're talking kind of elementary, students can, you know, decode, starting to practice their reading fluency. How about in middle school?
Well, that ultimate goal is that as readers, we're able to comprehend what we read. So beginning at the earliest stages, we plant seeds for students to think about and ask and answer questions about things that we're learning through reading to them. And then we move into building those comprehension skills and vocabulary through different genres of text. So once you get into the higher grades, rather than students learning how to read, they're reading to learn. So that really begins, I would say, around fourth grade, kind of introducing those concepts in third grade. But once they get into upper elementary and definitely in middle school, we want those students to be able to read different text to learn, so to take that information, comprehend it. So that's the ultimate goal.
So what kind of tools do we use here to help students develop throughout those stages and early childhood, elementary, middle school? Talk to us about what we use here at this school.
Hegarty is one of the tools that we use to help our students practice phonemic awareness. We use it in Little Champs all the way up to second grade. Like we said before, phonemic awareness is breaking words into syllables and rhyming and just understanding the different parts of a word, and it's all done orally.
So what do teachers say about this program? Because really their feedback is, I think, what's most important. They're implementing on a day-to-day. So what do they have to say about this program and the benefits?
So I have a few teachers that provided us with some feedback, and I'm just going to quote them here. Doing Hegarty consistently every morning touches on different skills that I know I wasn't hitting every day before we started using it. It helps me with pacing and teaching my students. I like that they both have a lot of examples, so we can do a couple and keep moving if it is a skill we have all mastered. And by saying that both, that we also have another reading program called Really Great Reading, and that's a phonics-based program. I feel both programs help students of varying levels feel successful. And then we have another teacher that provided us with some feedback about Hegarty. I really like that it is all verbal and allows students to pay close attention to what is being asked of them to repeat. We do Hegarty while standing, and it really helps them to be more aware of what we're doing. And we have a teacher that used it at a former school that she was at, which she really enjoyed using it there as well. I love the quick oral lessons, and the kids really seem to also enjoy it. So one more little bit of feedback. Hegarty is a very helpful tool in developing phonemic awareness. I noticed this year that if I have a student who is having trouble and I spend just a few sessions with them reviewing our Hegarty for the day, it can boost their understanding far more than the normal games I have in my small group rotation. I'm trying to decide how I can incorporate small groups just for a little extra practice with Hegarty because I think it is so beneficial for them. So it is really great to hear the feedback from our teachers, you know, with these programs that Shannon and I, you know, tried to do our best in finding what we thought would work best for our students, and that the teachers are really enjoying them and find benefit in them.
So Denise, you talked about really great reading in your quotes there of teachers. Tell us a little bit more about that program. You use Hegarty. Talk a little bit about what that does. What's really great reading and what skills does that build?
Really Great Reading is our phonics program. It actually starts with Little Champs and goes up to, it can go up to fifth grade, but we use it just at the third grade level. It's phonics based, and, you know, it's systematic. Everything that the kids do each year builds upon each other, and it really is helping the kids strengthen their reading skills. There's an online component, there's workbooks, there's oral practice, and then there's a reading playground, which is our online program for really great reading that the kids can practice at home or on their Chromebooks at school.
Cool. Yeah. And I've got a kinder boy here, and he loves playing with that at home. So yeah. Hopefully other students do as well. Let's talk about writing. So we live in a pretty technologically rich world, right? Kids are typing a lot more, and not often, but every now and then we'll have a parent who will ask about handwriting and the benefits, if it's still worth practicing. So tell us a little bit about handwriting practice? Is it relevant? And in particular, cursive writing. What are the benefits of practicing handwriting, or do we not? And why not?
Well, it is really important that we have our students writing. When you're writing something down, pen and paper, pencil and paper, you're stimulating a collection of cells at the base of your brain. It's called the RAS. It's a filter for all of the information your brain needs to process, and it gives more attention to what you're currently focusing on. So the physical act of writing brings the information to the forefront and triggers your brain to actually pay closer attention to what it is that you are engaged in.
There was actually a really cool study conducted from the Norwegian University of Science and Technology. And the study showed that cursive handwriting helps the brain learn and remember better. So the researchers got a group of young adults and 12-year-old children to study their brain activity while they wrote in cursive by hand, used a keyboard to type, or drew visually presented words. And they found that of the three types, the cursive handwriting produced the best learning and memory.
So with that being said, and reading that research, it just shows how important it is to continue doing some traditional types of things in our classrooms. You know, a lot of things are high tech and moving more to doing work on computers and maybe use of Google Classroom and things like that. But keeping in mind that, for example, reading is not something that our brains are hardwired to do. You know, reading is not a skill that comes natural to us. We have important stages and steps to go through to help our brains, you know, learn how to read. And recognizing that the act of writing is also important to our learning. So finding a balance between the technology that we are using in the classroom and still making time for traditional practices is important.
Yeah, that's great. So it really sounds like it's the practice of handwriting. It's more than just a communication art form. It's brain development. Right?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So you all have been working with kids for a while, 20 plus years in particular at this school. So in your experience, what has had the greatest impact on students' ability to read? Kind of an anecdotal kind of view on this.
Well, I'm going to kind of refer just to my experience as a teacher over the years. And when I went to college, we learned about balanced literacy and whole language and a whole different approach to teaching kids how to read. And in the last, I mean, it's been a number of years, probably 15 years or so, but researchers understanding actually how our brains work and how we actually learn how to read. It's called the science of reading. So going through training and understanding truly the stages and how systematic we need to present those skills to our students so that they can learn how to read. It's the perspective changes. So really understanding that now, you know, and getting rid of old practices that really were not effective in the long run and recognizing that has been huge for me, especially in the position that I'm in now here at the school.
So it's, yeah, in your experience, what's had the greatest impact on students' ability to read?
One of the things that I've noticed has had a really good impact on kids reading is when their teachers share their love of reading. When teachers read aloud books to their kids, when they talk about authors and really get their students interested and like pumped up to go to the library and, oh, my teacher read us this book by this author and I want to read more books by that author. I think when the teachers are sharing their love of reading and the kids see that, they want to, you know, share their love of reading too.
Nice. I think that's actually a really good segue into my final question, which is for parents out there who are listening, what can they do to help instill a joy of reading in their child? I would imagine similar to what teachers do, which is to be a good example and like be enthused about this new book or, hey, this author. So talk to us about what parents can do to help instill love of reading at home.
Well, as a parent of a student at TCDS, I've seen the impact that Hegarty and really great reading has had on my child's ability to read. His confidence is really high because he's able to decode words and sound them out. He's understanding what he's reading. So he just has really, you know, gained a love for books because he knows that he's going to be successful when he reads those books. And then we read together at home, or he sees me reading books. So I think that's been a really big benefit for him.
I feel like it's also really important to have discussions, conversations with your children, not just reading to them, but, you know, having real conversations with your kiddos, you know, when they come home from school, and asking them questions about things and really helping them become more verbal in their responses. But yes, reading with them is really, really important. Talk about what you're reading with them. You know, if it's just a storybook at night, you know, talk about the characters. There's going to be vocabulary in there that even as teachers, we sometimes assume that they understand what all of those words are and what they mean. But by asking questions, you find out a lot of you know, how you can really amp things up for your kid. When I talk about reading with your kids, it's holding a book and looking at pictures and really getting involved in what you're reading. All kinds of technology out there, books that they could pull up on YouTube. There's I think it's called Storybox or something like that. I can't remember right now, but it's been advertised. I've seen it on social media, and it's a little like cylinder that you put a toy on top of. So it's connected to Wi-Fi. You put the toy on top, and it reads your toddler or your little one a story. But where is the interaction? You know, there's nothing like that interaction that you can have with your child. All of these technology things that are out there are cute and fun, and they can be very engaging, but it will never replace that one-on-one time that you have with your child.
I think we forget sometimes too about this amazing free resource that we have in our community called the library. And, you know, families can go and check out books with their kids, and kids can have their own library card, which is pretty empowering for them. So I think there's just nothing like opening a book and reading it together.
Yeah, there was the saying that the way to spell love is T-I-M-E. Yeah. Right? I think all kids really want is time with their mom or their dad or their grandparent. And it's even better if it's time spent over a book. It's almost not even about the book, right? It's about connection. But I think we're all drawn to stories, right? Mm-hmm. So if we can listen to a story with the sound of my mom's voice or my dad's voice, someone I care about and love, that's all it takes, parents, right? It's time. It's being intentional. So hopefully parents listening will do that. Spend time with their kid, open up a book, and just be together. Shannon, Denise, appreciate the work that you have done for over two decades here, continue to do to build a literacy program to where students enjoy reading. You know, one of my favorite things to see around campus is kids walking around with a book in hand.
Yeah.
Like they're me going too. Somewhere and visiting the library. And, you know, we want reading to be the cool thing here at school, and the two of are helping you do that. So appreciate your work there, and thanks for coming on today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.